Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE. Joining me today from Washington is Frank Brown. Frank is the director of the Anti-Corruption and Governance Center at the Center for International Private Enterprise. Frank, thanks so much for taking time to talk to us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Adam.
So I don't think a lot of listeners are aware of SIPE's work, and especially as it overlaps with for those of us in compliance. Can you first give an overview of what the organization does?
Of course, yeah. So SIPE is, which is the way we shorten the Center for International Private Enterprise. SIPE is an NGO that's about 35 years old, and we're affiliated with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, which is, as most listeners will know, is the largest business association organization in the world. And we work all over the world at the intersection of economic reform and institutional development. So our mandate really, and it's only overseas, we do no work at all in the States, is to strengthen democratic institutions and at the same time encourage free markets to operate in a way that allows the people of a given country to be prosperous. So that sounds very, very sort of lofty and noble and probably hard to imagine in practical terms what that work would entail. But a big part of that work entails anti-corruption work and specifically focusing in on the supply side of the corruption equation. In other words, the private sector's willingness to pay bribes, to do favors in order to have government institutions act more quickly or decide in their favor, in the private sector's favor. So that's where we really enter the compliance world. And we enter at a point where a lot of the established sort of compliance, FCPA incorporated, if you will, entities don't want to go because the business proposition is not that attractive. So we often work in markets where a mid-sized company simply could not afford the services of many of the firms that service U.S. companies. And we provide our services for the most part for free or at a very low cost. And the idea is that if we can encourage mid-sized companies in emerging markets to reduce their corrupt practices, then we can improve the overall business environment within a given country. And by reducing the supply side demand of the corruption equation, we can improve the way that democratic institutions function. So that's a very long-winded way of explaining how what we do intersects with what the vast majority, I'm assuming, of your listeners and members do.
Oh, that's a great start. Thank you. Now, you and I were just in Indonesia, and actually I was there because of your work, to be perfectly candid. And SIPE does a lot of work there. What can you give people a sense of what's going on in Indonesia and a bit about your role? Give some more of the specifics to what you just talked about.
Certainly. Yeah. Indonesia is a fascinating place, not only because of the size of it, the economic dynamism, but from an anti-corruption compliance point of view, because it has by far the most serious, functional, powerful anti-corruption agency in the world, the acronym for which is KPK. And the KPK boasts a 100% conviction rate. And that is understandable when you come to terms with the fact that they control the entire process from deciding who they're going to investigate, who gets indicted, the venue for the trial to take place, the judge who oversees the trial, the KPK has its own judicial system, criminal justice system within the broader Indonesian context. So they're immensely powerful, and they have been a very, very positive influence in Indonesian society and are more than willing to take on new best practices from elsewhere in the world and try them out there. So for us coming into that environment, it's a really neat place to work because everybody, when you're working with the KPK, immediately pays attention and listens to what you have to say. So it's a place that we're able to take a lot of the best practices that we've learned in smaller markets, for example, in Thailand and Ukraine, and apply them in Indonesia.
And you could definitely get the sense of how important that organization is and how things are changing, not just from reading the news, but, you know, when, for those of you listening, Frank and I went over to a meeting there and just the sea of TV trucks waiting outside to see who was going to be arrested next was just sort of overwhelming to see, and seeing that the influence the organization has there.
You're right. Actually, that's a that the scene you described sort of captures the importance of the KPK within Indonesian society, is that the TV trucks just staking out the entrance to the KPK because the odds are so high that there'll be news generated that day with the arrest of somebody. And I should also add that the KPK was absolutely delighted to be hearing what SCCE does, what you do, the materials that are out there that I'm guessing are going to heavily inform how they interact with the private sector going forward. So it was really neat to be there with you and see this sort of cross-pollination between all the good work that's been done in this hemisphere and the hunger and the ways that it can be applied down there in Indonesia.
Now, it's really interesting to me when you look at the KPK, it's notable that their influence isn't just internal. It seems as if there's a lot of attention to their work around the globe. Is that correct?
That's right, Adam. I mean, one of the things that came through as we waited in the lobby of the KPK building and saw not only the journalists waiting for suspects to be brought in, but we also saw foreigners coming in to observe what the KPK is doing, to glean best practices. And we happened to run into Canadians, but I know for a fact that there have been anti-corruption agencies that are just getting started up in the Middle East and in Southeast Asia that have sent delegations to the KPK to learn how the KPK operates and to try to replicate some of those best practices in their countries. And that's fascinating to see the sort of globalization of anti-corruption standards.
So where do you see the greatest strengths or the greatest changes around the world in general in terms of the anti-corruption environment?
I think many listeners probably know far more than I, but from our point of view, the ISO 37001 standard is fascinating to watch, to see where that gets traction, what countries take it on as the standard that they want to use as to guide their approach to anti-corruption compliance. We're seeing a few countries, Indonesia among them, picking it up. It's interesting to see which multinationals are adopting the standard because it's not, we're not at a tipping point in that I think folks are watching very carefully to see what kind of traction the standard gets and what kind of signals law enforcement may give as to the adequacy of the standard. Another interesting development fairly recently is in France, the new anti-corruption law that applies to companies and the guidelines that have been issued there. And you're seeing, and this to us is the most interesting thing, you're seeing part of the guidelines focus in on state-owned enterprises. And so you're seeing very specific approach that's recommended by the French authorities to how state-owned enterprises should operate in terms of transparency, in terms of compliance. And as everybody knows, state-owned enterprises are one of the most problematic entities when it comes to corruption, that they are an endless source of problems around the world when it comes to the leadership of countries, all sorts of corrupt actors looking for ways to take advantage of state resources. So that's very, very encouraging. That would be one of the recent developments that we're watching very closely.
So you mentioned earlier that Scipe does a lot of work with mid-sized firms in emerging markets. I mean, when it comes to compliance challenges, in addition to the corruption area, what other challenges do you find for them that you might not find in a larger multinational firm?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And that really goes to what is by far the most challenging part of our work, is that we are working with companies that aren't necessarily motivated to change their behavior, because it's not always obvious to them what the advantages would be to putting in place an anti-corruption compliance program. So in other words, in many markets, you can talk about the Department of Justice and the FCPA, and they just don't care. It doesn't resonate in any way, because the likelihood of an enforcement action is very, very small. We went to Pakistan recently, and this is what we found. So we really struggle, and my colleague Anna Kampanik has done a superb job at articulating why a mid-sized business should care about these issues. And fundamentally, the most powerful argument that we've come up with is that your business will have access to global value chains. So in other words, all things being equal, if a multinational is looking for partners in a given market, if you can show that you are concerned about these issues, that you've put in place an anti-corruption compliance program, then you're going to have a leg up over your competitor. And aside from that, it's a secondary argument, the chances are that if you have the corporate governance structure in place that empowers a compliance officer to do the job they need to do, that your company is more likely to be profitable, to last longer, to avoid bankruptcy, all the a host of sort of positive benefits. So that's what we really focus on in emerging markets with mid-sized enterprises. We don't talk about the possible punishments. We don't try to scare them. We focus on the benefits. And that's really what sets apart our approach to the approach, I think, that typically we see with most SEC members or listeners to this podcast.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for sharing the information about your work and taking the time to talk to us today. Thanks all of you for taking the time to listen in. I'm Adam Turteltaub saying thanks for joining us, and I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspectives.